Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Sunny Merrymeadow podcast. I am your host, Liz Fidler. Today, we are going to talk about Facebook and Instagram ads and just targeted ads in general. And I am not an expert at this, so I asked my friend Lexi Wright to come on. And if you follow me on Instagram, you might have seen it that I was on her podcast, Farming on Purpose. But Lexi also has a media company called Back Pocket Social. And so she is the expert on this topic. So I invited her to come. And, you know, a lot of my listeners are just interested in growing flowers, but we're getting a increasingly really higher number of people that are interested in selling not just flowers, but perishable products and direct to consumer marketing. And this is something that I think is really confusing to people. So Lexi, thank you so much for coming and helping us with this.
Yeah, you bet. I'm super excited to talk with you guys. I loved our episode and learning more about flower farming. So happy to talk about this with people who are interested in that.
Yeah. So Back Pocket Social. Let's talk about what your business does and, you know, how you can help people and serve people. And then we're going to talk about the ads.
Yeah. So Back Pocket Social is a small marketing agency that I own. I have a couple subcontractors that work with me, and we just make up a small team of moms and girls that enjoy doing marketing for clients. And we work with small businesses nationwide and have a big focus on email marketing and meta or social media advertising. I have kept my focus pretty closely to that, even though you can run social media ads on just about any platform. I've kept really close to Meta on Facebook and Instagram because that is where most businesses are starting out and seeing the most success and getting the most bang for their buck. Even still today, when we have things like TikTok and all of those other tools, for most businesses, as far as return on investment, Facebook is the place to start. So that's why I've kept really close to that. And we work a lot with agriculture businesses, rural businesses. I have a big passion for businesses that are like small or startup owned by just regular people like you and me, and helping them make their dreams happen. So getting to market and tell their stories is a big part of what we do.
So I know that there are so many, I don't want to say conspiracies, but like, you know, the algorithm is always changing, right? And there's no rule book. And once you do think you kind of have something figured out, it changes. I try really hard to market my flower business and my flowers themselves and my subscriptions and whatever. My sales are heavily through my emails, and I shout that from the rooftop, right? But I try to get people on Facebook or whatever to sign up for my newsletter. And I try to train my customers. And that's been like a 4.5 year process of like really teaching them how to do that. And my experience is that, you know, Facebook doesn't necessarily, you know, Facebook is a business. Instagram is a business. They aren't just there for us to post our things, and they don't like it when you start trying to sell. They're not happy with, they're not necessarily pro small business, right? Like, and so I try not to post a bunch of links in there because I find that if I post links to shop, they get shown less. And so I personally have never, ever, ever paid for an ad on Facebook, on Instagram. I am curious. I would like to get my information to the targeted customer more directly. But my fear is that, and I want you to dispel my myth, right? Prove me wrong. But my fear is that if I start paying for something, I might get results right away. And then all of a sudden they'll stop showing my stuff altogether because they'll be like, oh, you paid once, now you got to pay again. So that's why I've never done it. But what are your thoughts on that? Or tell me where I'm wrong, please.
Yeah, no, I think it's really good actually that as a small business owner, you've never jumped into advertising, because a lot of people jump into it from the very beginning, and they do fall into that trap. Facebook and Instagram, but mainly Facebook, make it easy for business owners to boost their posts or run like a really quick ad. You know, you get those notifications like, hey, it seems like this post is getting some engagement. Would you like to boost it or spend $35 on it to get it to more people? Those kinds of things are not practices that I recommend for business owners. Social media, as you said, is an algorithm that is constantly changing. So it's about figuring out how to play the game. It's an amazing free tool that we all have to market our businesses, which, like, when was that ever a thing before? It just wasn't. Like, you had to have a newspaper reporter decide that your story was worthy to get that kind of exposure before social media. Mm-hmm. But with social media, we all have this opportunity to tell our stories for free. What I like to do then is tell people, okay, you have to figure out where your breaking point is if you are deciding that you're ready to run ads. If you have figured out the social media game for your business and you're getting great results, that is a great time to jump into formal Facebook advertising. I say formal because it is very different than the notifications that you get saying, like, would you like to boost this post? Another good time to jump into advertising is if you have a little bit of extra wiggle room in your budget and you need to see results quickly. At that point, you can use social media advertising as a testing platform to get information about your audience and what they like versus they don't like, what they respond to, much more quickly than if you were just posting and seeing what happened. Because, you know, you can only post so many times in a day or in a week before Facebook is like, okay, well, turn off the pipes. Like, this lady's posted too much. But with advertising, you can run 15 ads in a day for a dollar each and get really quick information about what works and what doesn't with your audience. So it's a great grounds for testing quickly if you have just a little bit of extra wiggle room and a little bit of, you know, DIY, figure it out yourself in you to do that. The other side of that is if you figured out the social media game and you're like, okay, I know what I'm doing. I'm getting great results. I need to scale this without putting all my time into marketing and filming content and doing all that. Then that's when formal advertising can also help your business explode as well. So it's kind of two separate tracks or reasons that you might start with ads.
Mm-hmm. So I think that, you know, because of my theory is because of Instagram Reels being so popular, my audience on Instagram versus my audience on Facebook are two very different audiences. I am not saying that what I'm doing is perfect. In fact, I'm actually meeting with someone next week to, like, she doesn't know a lot about what my business is, but she's going to kind of help me just organize it all because I have so many irons in the fire. And, you know, I started having like a coaching page on Instagram and on Facebook, and it's like they were totally separate. And so actually what's happened is my Facebook page for Sunny Mary Meadow is my flower farm, and I can make events, and that's how I sell and market the flowers. I still post things on Instagram about them, but for the most part, I use my Instagram page. I have them somewhat linked, but not completely. And so my Instagram page is more targeted to flower farmers or product-based businesses or people that listen to the podcast that want to take some of my courses, whatever that might be, because the reach is so far and they're not close enough to buy my flowers anyway. So it's an entirely different audience and customer base and brand and business. And then I created a Facebook group about the podcast. And, you know, we've only had about 300 people join that group. I have not done a great job of advertising it because you can only put so much effort into, you know, XYZ, but I'm trying to just, okay, let's, you know, we need a path. We need a reset. We need a, you know, what is the goal of all of it? And it's working and my sales are great and I'm happy with it. It's just, is it the easiest customer experience for my customers or is it confusing to them? Because if it's confusing to them, then it's confusing. So I'm trying to get like other flower farmers and podcast listeners to come over to Instagram or go to the Facebook group, not necessarily on my Sunny Mary Meadow Facebook page, because that's what I want for the local people for buying flowers. So I don't know, like just trying to like target those ads and what I might need.
Yeah. And that's actually really advanced of you to recognize that these each play very separate roles in your business. You know, where like you said, the Instagram is more of a brand like it's a business, but it's a brand that people from far away connect with too. Whereas your Facebook page is more of like the business that's telling people, okay, you're local, you can buy, you can come to events, that kind of thing. Recognizing that those different responsibilities for those marketing channels are there is going to help you with your ads immediately. So if you wanted to focus on growing the local exposure or getting ticket sales for an event, you know immediately, okay, that needs to be a Facebook ad. That needs to drive people to my page, to my event that I have on Facebook. If you want to grow your brand, that needs to be an Instagram ad. And you can do that when you jump into the formal side of meta ads is like target. Okay, I only want these ads to run on Facebook or only on Instagram. You can even change it so that they only run in stories versus in the feed. And then for your Facebook group, that's also a really easy one. Like you're probably going to see people on Facebook, but you can target people from Instagram on Facebook. That's like more of the similar demographic that you're seeing between those two. Mm-hmm. So there's lots of different options, but recognizing that each of your ads needs to have a very clear and specific goal is a big part of running the ads to start with. A lot of people, especially when they're jumping in with boosting posts, they don't really know what they want or expect to happen after they push that button or after they spend those first few $50. So knowing ahead of time what your goal is and how you're going to measure the success of that goal is really important.
We're going to do a quick break from this episode, and I want to give a shout out to my employee of the month, QuickBooks. I know it can be so overwhelming to get started, but honestly, the sooner you create your own system for your bookwork, the sooner you will get your time back. I used to spend 10 to 20 hours every quarter because in Minnesota, it depends on what your sales volume is, and I fall in the category of quarterly sales tax. So it never failed. Every 3 months, I would go down this rabbit hole of trying to gather everything from my website, the different point of sale that I do in person, people would pay checks, and just trying to reconcile it all. So now every month, I spend 1 hour reconciling my bank account with those systems that automatically feed in. And then when it's time to submit my sales tax, it takes me about 5 minutes, saving me literally dozens of hours every month. So yes, you pay a monthly fee for QuickBooks, but trust me, even if I only value my time at $10 an hour, it is still way worth it. Head to the episode notes and click on the link there, and you will get 30% off for 6 months with my exclusive code. Be sure to use the code rather than just going to the regular website, because this is going to give you that 30% off for 6 months. I cannot recommend QuickBooks enough. Let's get back to the episode.
I've actually had to work really hard on my Instagram to change the algorithm over in the last couple of years since I started doing the podcast, since I started doing the coaching. And the coaching was never on purpose. And, you know, I see all this like, oh, marked free from buying a scam of an online course, whatever. Like, I know that they're getting a bad reputation, and I don't care, because the people that have bought my courses, that have paid for coaching, that have done whatever, like, they're so happy with their results, and I have helped propel them forward in their business, that if you're not going to buy something, you're not going to buy something. That's fine. I'm not for you. You can still listen to the podcast for free. You can be here. It doesn't bother me, other than like, if they're making it seem like they're all scams, then I do take that personally. Cause it's like, no, I'm not just taking someone's money. I am very invested. Do I think there are some courses out there that are just taking people's money? Yeah, probably. Do your due diligence, you know, look up that person, whatever. I have a conscience. I like to sleep at night. I want to actually help people. But, you know, the coaching, it just kind of started with, I kept just from the podcast or even just social media, people asking me all the time, like, how do you do this? How do you do that? And very, very detailed questions. And at the end of the day, I'm like, I would love to sit and answer emails all day. I would love to chit chat and go out for coffee. But the fact is, that is time away from my children. That is time away from my family. And if I'm going to be doing that, I need to be intentional about my time and do a good job and be invested in their success. And I have a little bit of skin in the game, because I hired people to do the flowers so that I could do the coaching. You know, like, there's expenses that go into my time. And so I think that one thing that I have always, you know, the last couple of years, I've been so curious on, you know, a podcast or marketing or reels. And that's what my algorithm was filled with, was other like marketing accounts or other, it wasn't necessarily flower farmers. And so it kept showing me, you know, it kept showing me things like how to, you know, how to read the algorithm, how to do this, how to do that. And that call to action. And I think that, you know, 5 years ago, I mean, I wish I had started this business 5 years ago. Like I joke all the time. One of my friends, I'm like, if we had started our Instagram accounts 5 years ago, we would have 100,000 followers. Like for sure. It was so easy to gain followers, you know, whatever it was. And
different time.
And the criteria for doing social media was simply, it was like Facebook replaced your website. You just had to have a pretty page and a pretty presence. And now it's like, no, I don't give a crap about how a post does. I want to see, you know, that call to action, and I want to see results on my business. Like I send an email newsletter. Yeah, that open rate is great, but how much money did I make? How much sales? And there are things that can actually be measurable. And so I think, you know, being able to actually measure and have a return on your investment, because yeah, it would be so easy to just $60 here, $60 there on Facebook ads and blink and all of a sudden 2 months pass and what did I get out of it? But you can actually tell what sales came on those days and actually compare it.
Yeah. And that's a big part of what I do personally for clients, because I'm a data nerd. I love to know like what actually worked versus what didn't, because if I'm going to run an ad for a client, if I'm going to run another ad for them, it better do better the second time. Like, I don't want it to just be the same. Oh, good enough. So that's why I do a lot of like tracking and analyzing the data that we gained from running that ad. I want to know where the people that responded to it were located. I want to know, did they sign up from your email list? How much time did they spend on your website? What did they look at? You know, all of those things. Did they click on your ad multiple times and not purchase? All of those things are going to tell me more about what your advertising campaign needs to look like. And once you figure out like the different data points to look at, a lot of people in marketing call them KPIs, which sounds so corporate, but it's key performance indicators. And those things are going to tell you what you need to change, and figuring those out and which ones matter for your business. Like maybe for some business, it is open rate of an email. Maybe it's your sales. Maybe it's an action that they take right before they make an order. Like those are the things that if you watch those triggers that you can figure out, okay, these are the strings we need to pull to increase the sales, to increase where we're going.
Yeah. And I think, so I have a really good friend that she's actually on my Bloom and Grow podcast today, but she's from St. Joe and she's this, like, she has this old school letterpress printing press. Her name's Mary Bruno. And she's like, honestly, this like local celebrity. I don't even know how to describe her. If you're from Minnesota, like, you know who Mary Bruno is. And we were talking about her marketing strategy and we were just laughing. So like, she's just one of the funniest people in the world. And she said her strategy is shoot, fire, aim. And she's like, yeah, I need to slow down and redo it, because, you know, she'll make these old school printing press and she'll make this new print and she'll put it on her Instagram stories. And it's so exciting. And people are like, oh my God. And she's, you know, and she, listening to her, I mean, I seriously think, you know, swear word to regular word is like a 3-to-1 ratio. Like I've never met someone with such a potty mouth. And so if you're listening and you have kids in the car, turn it down. But she's like, oh shit, yeah, yeah, look at all these cool shit that I made and look at all this shit. And she'll put that in her stories and like, look at all this. And then she, you know, she's telling me this story and I'm laughing so hard, but I know exactly what she's talking about, because she goes, yeah. And then I'll get 30 messages of people saying, oh my God, I want that. I want that. I want that. And she's like, ah, crap. I don't have the link for them to buy it. I have nothing to send them. And I posted, here's all this stuff and people are excited about it and they want to buy it. And she's like, oh, I'll get the link and I'll get them up on the website tomorrow. Come back tomorrow. Those people ain't coming back tomorrow. And I know exactly. And when she said that to me, it was such an aha moment, because it's, she's like, shoot, or yeah, fire. Yeah. Shoot, fire, aim, or ready, aim, fire, or whatever it was. And she's like, I don't aim until the end when I've already shot it. And there we go. And that's exactly, I mean, it's a hard line between, you know, giving a sneak peek or a teaser of what's to come. But if there's not a call to action or something that people can do and pounce on it, then are you wasting your content? Or is there, you know, so it's, it's funny because I always look at the Facebook ads that Facebook wants me to boost. And all of a sudden it'll be like, oh, you should boost this. And I look at it and I'm like, why would I boost that? Like awareness that I have, like I'm trying to promote awareness that I have a business. Like there's nothing for them to click on. There's nothing for them to buy. It doesn't talk about the products I want. And so if you just boost an ad to boost an ad, what are people going to do with it if they see it? Like I said, it's awareness that my business exists, but is it even, you know, are they signing up for the newsletter? Are they following my account? Is there anything that's going to give them an action other than to see it? Vanity metrics are just vanity metrics. Like I care about the sales and the numbers.
Absolutely. The social media game is interesting to me because there's so many different ways to play it and so many different ways to find success. But for a lot of folks, that's not what they feel at first. It feels like failure because you like got 5 likes on your post and nobody clicked on it. And it's like, oh, that stinks. But there are so many ways when you find what works for you to find that success. And like your friend that is posting these on her stories and getting 30 hot leads, but doesn't have the link ready, like that. I struggle with that because it's like, I'm never going to discourage somebody from doing that because the best kind of marketing is the kind that gets done. Like there are so many business owners who are working their tails off and they don't ever even market what they have. Mm-hmm. So as long as you're doing some kind of marketing, like you're ahead of the game, Give yourself a pat on the back for that. But then also realize like, okay, I need to recognize that I can do better and that I can find more success if I tweak things. And if I, you know, pause and make sure I have a link to respond to these people when they tell me they love something, even as simple as that. So that's like, to me, the part where I hate when folks like play social media police. And there are so many marketers out there who are like, don't ever do this again. Or why would you have ever done that? It's like, no, they were trying and they were doing their best to market their business. Like, don't shame them for that. So just do your best to get your content, whatever that looks like, out the door. And then as you get it out the door, look and see what you need to do different over time to get better and better at getting those results that you want to see.
I am going to absolutely say, like, my perspective and especially where I'm at in my business, like when we get done with this phone call or with this recording, like you and I are going to chat, because guess what? I always talk about who, not how, right? That's one of my biggest things in my business. And the point where I'm at, I have so many moving pieces in my business. This isn't a one person business. This isn't, you know, a revenue stream that one person supports. I have a whole team that helps, you know, continue with progressing. And so it's like, okay, Facebook ads, for example, I could learn how, I could watch YouTube videos, I could trial and error, I could waste money doing it. It doesn't work, doesn't get the results I need. Or I could find my who, Lexi, and just saying, you know what, I'm going to hire you to do this for me. It's the same thing with my coaching. It's the same thing with my courses. It's everything. And it's not for everyone, but in a lot of instances, it's going to save you money in the long run. And so to say, you know what, here's the results I'm hoping for. This is what I want. I want my UPix to be sold out. I want this. I want more eyes on my subscriptions. Like, help me do this. I firmly believe that the money that I would pay you to do it would be tenfold in the 20 hours I would spend trying to figure out how to do it. And I could do other things that actually bring in revenue elsewise. I mean, I could pick up a shift as a nurse practitioner. I could pick up a 4-hour shift of online videos, or I could just spend time with my kids. I could just, you know, sharpen my axe, put fuel back in the tank, recharge instead of doing that. But I think that, you know, it's not for everybody, but I think, you know, what would be a good place to get started if you're not in that position yet? Because obviously you're in year one of your business. You probably don't have a budget line to pay for ads yet. Or, you know, what analytics should people be looking at? Or how do you even do that?
Yeah, absolutely. Before I answer that, I just want to say, I love the perspective that you bring to that. And I absolutely know that's why people come to you for like business coaching. It's because you have that like understanding of time is limited and you need to know your priorities and where your time is best spent. And that's so hard to figure out as a beginning business owner, because everything feels like it's on fire. And it can be really easy to just run around like a chicken with your head cut off all day, versus taking that approach that you just described of like, I recognize that my time means more to me in other places, and actually implementing that. Sometimes I need to hear that story too.
I'm entering into year 5. This wasn't year 1. This wasn't year 2. This is, and It was definitely.
And some of them are just slower learners than others. Cause I'm in year like 7 and sometimes I still am like, oh, I should probably like think about that. But so where you should get started. So if you are a business owner who is not looking to hire someone to help you with your ads, which by the way, if you are looking to hire for someone to help you with your ads, start with a freelancer. You do not want to go to a marketing agency that has a super fancy website and looks amazing because they're going to charge you an arm and a leg for the same thing that a freelancer could do. And it's going to be probably not what you're actually set up for anyways. So I want to start with that. I am very pro like gig economy or freelancer or whatever you want to call it. But some questions, I'm going to get to the question again too, but some questions that you should probably ask someone before you start asking them for help with your advertising or your marketing is what kind of processes they go through to determine success, if they understand your goals and timeline and what kind of budgets that you work with, and then also ask them what kind of experience they have with running different types of ads. So are they just, you know, all about getting followers for you? Can they show you people that they've earned sales for? Can they show you that they have done lead generation to get you new email subscribers and people that want to buy? Those are the things that you need to ask an ad specialist before actually working them. Okay, but if you are doing it yourself, the best place to start if you are DIYing your advertising on Facebook or Instagram is number one, it's okay to push the boost button or run those ads that are super easy with like the little button on Facebook to do it. Just focus on doing it on the posts that you know are going to drive sales for you and that you need help for engagement on. You mentioned earlier that including links usually means that less people are going to see your post. That's absolutely correct. So if you have a post with a link in it to sign up for your newsletter or to come buy these flower bulbs or whatever it is, those are the posts that you want to boost, not the ones that are like, look at my beautiful flowers, because people are going to love those anyway. You don't need to spend ad money there. So that's like step one, baby step two. Okay, I want to see what this looks like and what it can do for me. The second thing you want to do after you try that out is go look at your website analytics and see if people actually clicked the link. See if people actually went to your website. For a lot of those folks who are clicking that link, you also have the option to do some like very basic targeting. Like it'll ask you who you want to show this post to. Geographic location is going to be the number one most important there for most small businesses. Don't focus on showing the post to people who are never going to have the option to buy from you. Like if your people are in a 5-mile radius, focus on the 5-mile radius. And for rural, like obviously that's very small, but if you're in like a slightly suburban area, that might be 500 people that just don't know you're there. And so a small budget even can make a big impact with that. If you're ready to move on past that step, you're like, okay, I'm ready. I've got a budget of maybe $100 a month. I want to see where it gets me on Facebook ads. The first thing you're going to want to do is set up your account in Business Manager. So you're going to go to business.facebook.com and make sure your account is in there. Some of you might already have it. If you've had a business for a while, like some accounts are automatically created. Some of them you have to go set them up. It just depends on what version of Facebook you have, which at any given time, there's like 150 versions out there in the world. So it's really encouraging. Like when I try to walk a client through, okay, here's this button that you need to click. And they're like, the button's not there. And I'm like, great, you have a different version than I do. So explaining where to find that is always challenging. But that's the first step. Once you have your business manager account set up, you're going to bring your assets in there. So you want your Facebook page, your Instagram page to show up in there. So you're kind of like claiming them and that they are your business and you're going to run ads for them. The next thing you're going to do is set up your ad account. So this is not just clicking, like you may have a payment method in there of like your credit card that you've boosted posts with before or something, but you're going to set up an ad account and that's separate than your payment method. The ad account is what's going to allow you way more options for targeting on your ads and way more data as well. The last thing that you can do, this is not required, but I highly recommend it, is you can set up a data set. And this is going to give you even more information because it connects to your website to tell you, okay, this is a person that is confirmed coming from Facebook ads or Instagram ads. and we know they came to your website. So you can identify them in the back end of your website or in Google Analytics to see what kind of actions they took on your website. It's also going to auto calculate conversion rates and costs for you, which is really helpful because then you don't have to like try to puzzle out all these numbers and be like, oh, was this website traffic or that came from Instagram or Facebook or did they actually buy? I don't know. So it's going to calculate those for you. And it's going to say, you know, this ad gave you 4 new sales. You spent $50 on this ad. So it cost you X amount to earn those 4 sales. So that's kind of like the technical background basics of things that you need to have in place before you ever run any kind of ad on Facebook other than just boosting. Once you do that, you're going to start a campaign. And to think about how you want to do this campaign, as we mentioned earlier, you're going to want to know what your goal is and you want to know how you're going to measure the success. So is your goal to gain new podcast subscribers? If so, how are you going to measure it? Are you going to measure it by a trackable link that it classifies those people that come to your Podlink site or to subscribe to you on Apple Podcasts? How are you going to know that those people are from your ad?
Mm-hmm.
That's the most important thing to do there. We're getting really technical. So this might be a good point to mention that I do have this all mapped out for everyone in a free guide that I'm going to give you guys. If you go to
Back Pocket Social. That'll be in the episode link. You can click on this free download and get that emailed to you. So yes, absolutely. Yes.
Yep. It'll be at backpocketsocial.com/Liz. So really easy to find. And basically it's not going to like hold your hand, but it'll give you an outline of the steps that you need to take because this is very technical. Please don't feel bad if you struggle to make sure everything is in the right place. It is challenging.
Well, and almost I think pointing that out, like it's intentional that it's backpocketsocial.com/Liz and click on the link. But that is for you and I to be able to measure that. Like everything we do is measurable. Was it worth it for you to come on this podcast, take time out of your day to be a guest? Was it worth it for me? You know, I can show future advertisers within my podcast, like, hey, Lexi came on and look how many people clicked on this link and downloaded. Clearly I have engaged listeners. And you know, when you have a business, it's so hard to like get in that mindset of like everything you do has to be so purpose and intentional. But I mean, if I'm just sitting here like doing this for fun and not measuring anything and not having it being a business, it's a hobby, right? Like you have to analyze those numbers. And so anyway, I just want to point out like there's a reason you didn't just put the random link. Like you want to know how many people are coming from this link. And it's the same thing with Facebook ads, with Instagram ads, whatever it is, it has to be measurable. Or, you know, you can scroll through, you can spend hours scrolling through Instagram, looking at other people's reels, calling it marketing, saying, well, I'm trying to get inspiration for my own content. No, you are sitting on your butt, wasting time going through Facebook or Instagram. That's what you're doing. And that's what I used to do a couple of years ago. I'm like, oh, well, I could copy that. And I could, you know, look for inspiration elsewhere. It's like, no, that's a hobby. That's, you don't have a business. So anyway, I had to just go on that little tangent, but point out why that's so important.
It is. And that's a really great point that we didn't talk about earlier. If you're going to be running formal Facebook or Instagram ads, it's a very good idea to have your own website set up. Like if you're not to the point where you have a website yet, maybe you have like a milkshake page or a stand store. Like you can run ads, but you're not going to be as successful with that because you're not going to see the data that you need to see to be successful. And you're also not going to have the power to change your website based on the data that you see from those ads. Mm-hmm. Being able to do that is really important to when you are like, okay, I don't want to spend $5 to get one new email subscriber every time. I want to spend $1.50. That's what you tweak is your website, the landing page that people go to from your ad, to increase those conversion rates.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a great point. The next thing that you want to look at as you dive into those ads is what type of ad you want. So you have your goal that's going to help you decide what type of ad. Some of the different types are like awareness, traffic, lead generation, engagement. Almost always for people who are new to running ads, I'm going to suggest that you either run a traffic ad or an engagement ad. An engagement ad goal is to get people to interact with the post. This does a couple things for you. It increases your brand awareness. It can be really good for a business that is a local business. So maybe operating in a rural area or with a smaller population of people who can buy from you, it's going to show proof of concept. So when people are scrolling through Facebook and they come across a post that has 500 likes, they're going to be like, oh my gosh, what is this? And it's a business that's in their community. They're going to be like, wow, I have to try this. Clearly people are interested in it and like it. So it's more of a branding type of an ad. It's not going to be directly a sales ad, but it is probably going to increase the people that are coming into your location. When I start with local businesses, that's almost always the first ad type that I run for them is an engagement ad. The other type of ad is a traffic ad. This is going to be focused on getting people to your website or to the landing page that you want them to visit. And for most people, that's the goal, is they want you to come to your website, make an order, make a purchase, sign up for the newsletter, whatever that is. So those are the two types that you're going to start with. There are other types. I would not mess with them until you're ready to like dive deeper into figuring out advertising. From there, you choose your audience and your budget. For budget wise, just to get started, I would start with about $5 a day for your budget. You can either set a daily budget or a lifetime budget for your ad. It doesn't really matter which one you do, as long as it equals out to about $5 a day. That's going to make sure that you have enough budget in there to see the results you need to see quickly. And then you can also, if you feel like it's costing you too much, you can turn it off and try something else. That gives you enough traction to see results. If you go less than that, it's always like, I'm not sure if I'm seeing the results I want to see. You can run ads at lower budgets, but it does take a little bit more experience to understand where those lines are. Audience-wise, there is something very cool on Facebook and Instagram now called Advantage Campaign Audience. So Facebook actually chooses your audience for you. I've run several tests of these. They're fairly new. And I was really wary of them at first because I was like, ooh, I don't know about them choosing my audience for me. Like, are they just going to choose whoever's the easiest to reach, or are they actually going to buy? But I've actually been very impressed with it so far. So the only time that I would be wary of running an Advantage audience campaign as a beginner is if your page is brand new. So they need some data to kind of rely on as Facebook to know who to pull for your audience. So if you have followers, probably like in the 100 to 200 range, you're going to be fine. What they're going to do is they're going to send your post to people who are most like your followers you already have. So as long as you have those, you're going to be fine for that type of an audience. If you don't have that, you're going to want to select your audience yourself and decide who those people are that you want to see the ad. Even when you do a campaign, an Advantage audience campaign, I would still set geographic parameters on there just so that you don't get shown to someone in Zimbabwe or, you know, Chicago, but you're in, you know, whatever. Make sure that your audience is relevant. So those are the most important things there. That's all the pre-work. Then you're finally ready to make the ad itself. A successful ad is going to have creative that is eye-catching. So that could be a photo, a graphic, or a video. There's lots of tools in Facebook that can help you create that. You can also use tools like Canva, or just like literally just a photo is fine. Like there's nothing wrong with that. And then the copy is the other piece that you're going to need to write. It can be short as long as it includes the details that they need. And then your link. So your link would be where you want them to visit as a result of your ad. So that was like a big dump of information, but that's really the whole process from start to finish. All you're ready to do is analyze your results.
And I think that, yes, you're like, yeah, it's a lot of information. And I hope that that wasn't boring, or I hope it wasn't this, or I hope it wasn't that. But I think it's a testament to the fact that it's complicated. It's harder than it seems. You can't just post something and if you build it, they will come. No, not necessarily. I mean, I get so many posts of, wish I was closer, wish I was closer. You know, I posted my spring subscriptions and so many people, wish I was closer. I'm like, I wish you were closer too. Like, you cannot buy flowers if you're not close. And so it's just, like I said, it's so interesting to get sucked into those vanity metrics, right? And I mean, just, it's amazing, especially as I've started, you know, with this business. So I really don't do a whole lot of one-on-one consulting. That's why I created my course. I started out doing one-on-one coaching consulting last summer, but I felt like everyone was asking me the same baseline questions. And it wasn't a good reflection on my time. And people don't know what they don't know. So they're asking me for a technical fix. How do you sell more flowers? How do you do your STEM bars? How do you do your nursing home sponsorships? And they want a quick and easy one word answer because they think that's what they need. And it's like, no, you don't need a technical fix. You need an adaptive process. You need to learn how to make these goals unique to yourself. And that's what my Peddling Perishable Products course was just the entire overview of everything. And while some lessons on there, like how to get an LLC or types of insurance that you might need or whatever, some people that took the course, those lessons were not applicable to them. They already had that, but then just breeze over those videos. You know what I mean? It's one of those, like, I didn't price out, itemize every single little thing. So yes, maybe there were a couple things that weren't useful to them, but that's okay. And so now there's actually two women that took the course last fall. And if you take Peddling Perishable Products, there's a private podcast that you get lifetime access to, which is, and it's free, it's included. And so that's how we do kind of the group coaching part. Like, I just got an email from someone that took the course last fall, and she's going to do like 450 bouquets for a graduation. And she's like, help me walk through. And she had all these questions. I'm like, nope, that's for the private podcast. And I'm going to walk her through everything. And then those that have taken the course can listen to it. But my coaching piece is now, like, you know, those people that want to learn how to work on their business and not in the business. Okay, now that you've got that baseline, now I can teach you how to start delegating, how to start hiring, why I decided to hire this out and not this out, or I started hiring this and now I've decided, nope, it's just easier for me to do it myself, or vice versa. But I think, you know, as you're trying to figure out, you know, these ads or these marketing or whatever it might be, what is your end goal? What is your ideal business? What is your hope out of all of this? And I think if you don't have that in mind, and if you don't know who your ideal customer is, then you're just trying to make sales and you're always going to be behind the needle at that point.
Yeah, playing defense instead of offense, which is a challenging place to be, especially as a new business owner. When you have amazing, wonderful ideas that you want to see bloom and grow, but instead you're like, okay, I got to make a post and hopefully it makes two sales. Like, that sucks to be in that place. So yeah, knowing what your goal is really valuable. I think that a useful exercise for people to do before they run any ads or make anything advertising wise is to do a customer journey map. Like, lay out what your offers are, the options that people might pay you for, and look at how this advertisement is going to help you meet one or multiple of those as they go down their customer journey. Like, are they going to sign up for your newsletter and then become a course member? Are they going to sign up for your newsletter and then buy flowers from you? Like, what is the option for where they're going to go after they see this ad? And having a really clear idea of what that could look like is going to help you write better ads and target ads better as well.
I think that you and I both are pretty geek out over the numbers. Like, I think it's exciting. I see another podcast episode in the future of just like talking about those numbers and those metrics. Like, so I've started getting more consistent with my email newsletter that I send out. And, you know, I had 6 people unsubscribe last week, and it's like, oh, and literally, and it's funny because 3 of them, no reason given. And 3 of them were like, this is great. I just get too many emails and I don't live close. And, you know, I'm already subscribed to the podcast, so I don't need a notification every time there's a podcast episode out. Like, you know, I'm like, fine. That's great. Because they weren't going to buy anything anyway. And I want my open rate to be high. I want my click rate to be high. I want my sales converted to be high. I measure all of those analytics. And so, you know, I think I probably had 100 new subscribers last week though, because I did a Dahlia growing guide and they got to download that. So it's like, I have all these new subscribers. So yes, I got 100 new subscribers and I lost 6, but it's so easy to be like, oh, those 6 people didn't like me. Oh my gosh. Out of 2,600 people on my email list, 6 people didn't like me. And it's not that they didn't like me. It's just, I'm not for them. And so instead of looking at, oh my gosh, now Six is high. Like that is a pretty high unsubscribe rate. But I also, this is the third week in a row that I've sent the email consistently. And so it's like, yeah, they probably like the first couple times, okay. And so I can look at that and say, yeah, that's probably why they unsubscribed. It's probably a lot, but I'm getting my sales. It's short, it's brief. My open rate has gone up. So it's okay. I'm not for those six people, and my business is not for those six people. And I think that's important too. Instead of saying, I'm not for those six people, it's no, my business and what I'm offering is not for those six people. Don't take it personally.
That's such a good way to look at it. And it's so challenging as a business owner to kind of separate yourself, especially if you're like a solopreneur or something, which I know you're not. But even still, when you have a team behind you, it kind of feels like a little jab at your personal self when things like that happen. But it's so not. It's how business works. And so that's such a great way to look at it. I love that you work some of those mindset things into your conversations because they're just as much a part of business as the technical stuff is anyway. And I love on email marketing, like that's a great point to bring up is you have tools at your disposal to see that data. And you also have tools at your disposal to change that. So if you saw send an email that you may like maybe people weren't as interested in, segmenting your lists is going to be a really valuable step to take if you continue to see things like that. Like, okay, I know I don't need to send this to people who sh exhibit X, Y, and Z, or they opened this the first time, didn't click anything, didn't take any action. They opened it or they didn't open it the second time. Maybe I don't need to send them the third one. Like, only send that one to people who showed some interest but didn't purchase. Or, you know, it's not necessarily as simple as that and as cut and dry, but having the opportunity to look at those stats and then make informed decisions based on them is one of the best things that you can do for your business.
And I think that I hesitate to share some of these things because I think people maybe aren't as aware of like what data is shown. And I don't want people to be like, oh, I'm not clicking it because, you know, whatever. But like, do you know how much data all of these businesses and all of these places have? And you know, it's like I remember a couple years ago when, you know, there was a gal from my high school that, you know, she's got hundreds of thousands of followers on Instagram, and everyone gives her, you know, just man, she's an influencer and whatever. And I'm like, I don't know, good for her, because I know there is a lot of work that goes behind the scenes. And it's like, I remember someone saying, oh my gosh, I didn't realize that even if I click the link, even if I don't buy something, if I buy something else on Amazon, she gets money. What? And you know, they just like how affiliate links work. And it's like, yep, that is how it all works. And so, you know, with my email list on Sunday, I mean, I have the last two emails that I've sent out, I have access to the 100 people that clicked on my spring subscription link in the last 2 weeks and haven't bought it. They know that it closes on Sunday. They know that spring subscription closes on Sunday. Like there are three people that have clicked on that link 3 or 4 times and they just have not pulled the trigger yet. I can send those people an email saying, you know, just one final push of like, here's the spring subscriptions, here's what you're getting. Like you're on the fence. These are testimonies. These are what people say, you know, and just hit those 100 people hard. And, you know, you could say, like, it's one of those weird things because it seems so violating almost. Like, you can see who clicks on that. Of course you can. Of course you can. And you have to look at it as a business. I'm not selling that information. I'm not extorting them. I'm not doing anything evil. I'm not doing anything bad. I'm just using the information that I have on those warm leads.
And I think it's also really hard for people starting out with marketing to go ahead and take the step to send that last email of like, here's the people who haven't pulled the trigger. Maybe they just need one more point of information to make their decision. It's so hard to send that email because it feels like you're pounding on doors. It feels like you're hunting for sales. You're probably going to talk yourself out of it 15 times,
But if I
but
send
then.
that email to all 2,600 people, I'm going to get 6 more people that unsubscribe, right? No, I need to send it to those people that are so close. And that's what marketing is. And if you think that other big businesses aren't doing it, or if you think, you know, you can't do business that way, I don't know. Like I need to keep the lights on. I need to pay my bills. I need to I need to get my product that I think is so wonderful and that is going to help people. And maybe it's just helping their mental health, but I do believe that I have a product that can help people. And this is how I'm getting it to those people that most need it.
Yeah. And if you look at the numbers on those retargeting emails or those getting back in front of the interested people, they have the highest conversion rates. That's where you make the biggest number of your sales as opposed to like your investment or effort. So if you're on the fence, anybody that's listening about retargeting or asking for the sale again after you've already asked once, do it. Do it every time because you're going to see that higher conversion rate.
Oh, this is so fun. Go to the link in the episode notes, click on it, get started. If you don't want to do it yourself and figure out how to do it, you know, look up Lexi. She's obviously someone that I trust, an actual person behind, you know, the freelance situation rather than, you know, just a random brand that you don't know if they're just going to take your money or how it's going to work and how it's going to get started. But that return on your investment, and I challenge you to look at it as, you know, whether you do it yourself or whether you hire someone, don't think about what it costs. Think about what it's costing you not to do it. Think about the opportunity cost. I mean, I posted, because we're in round two of peddling perishable products and we're almost done. And I posted in my stories, one person wrote like, thank you so much. I took 3 pages of note and it was the accounting and tax lesson. And I had 3 people message me and they're like, oh my God, I'm in taxes right now. I should have taken your course. I probably would have got that money back of the course just in this lesson alone. I'm like, yep, probably, but you can take it next fall. And you know, because you don't know what you don't know. You can sit down with an accountant and be like, well, I'm a flower farmer, help me. Okay, well, then you can pay them $100 an hour or whatever to answer your questions. And if you don't even know what you're asking, then you're just throwing away money. You know, so looking at it that way, or, you know, I don't want to pay for Facebook ads. Well, if you could get an extra $500 in sales every single week because of those ads, instead of it costing you $5 a day, it's costing you $500 a week, you know, if, you know, in that opportunity cost. And there has to be a fine line. There has to be, can't just keep throwing money. Like you have to have goals and an outcome and, you know, a success. Like what is the benchmark for success?
Absolutely. And you have to stick with it for at least a little bit. I mentioned earlier, like $100 a month that you want to first start with. You got to have that for like at least 3 months because your first ad's not going to do as well as you want it to, but you're going to learn things. And that second ad, you're going to do better. And that third one, you're going to figure out a lot. So sticking with it for that kind of testing time frame is really important too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, as I am now getting, I'm now taking ads on my podcast, right? Like other businesses, you know, this episode is sponsored. That's an ad. Like let's call a spade a spade. I don't want to be transparent. Like, oh, well, you know, no, it's an ad. They're paying me to get in front of my audience because it is their target customer. It's their target audience. However, I'm the one who suggested and they agree, like, let's have a measurable, clickable link that is unique to me and my podcast so you can see if it's actually worth your time and if you're getting sales from it. I'm not just taking money from anybody that's going to do it. I mean, and I'm not really making money. It's just helping cover the production costs, if I'm being honest, but I'm only going to have someone on there that I think what they have will help my current audience and my current listeners. And that's what's so cool about that too, is, you know, making sure that it aligns with me and my goals and my values.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Lexi. And we'll put all of your information in the episode notes.
Thank you, Liz.
Thanks for listening to the Sunny Mary Meadow podcast. I'm your host, Liz. If you like what you're hearing, please subscribe and rate us. You can find us on Instagram, Pinterest, and Facebook at Sunny Mary Meadow. Subscribe to our email newsletter at sunnymarymeadow.com. And if you have questions or comments or anything to say, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at podcast@sunnymarymeadow.com.
Flowers, flowers, we love flowers. Sunny Mary Meadow, they smell so good. SunnyMaryMeadow.com.